This is the reading of God's Word, Luke chapter 11, verse 2b. Hallowed be your name. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We thank you. And we ask that you will grant all of us an ear to hear your word, so we may truly hear your word and be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us have that sweet fellowship with Jesus Christ as we hear your word. And through your word, let us see what our Lord has already done and accomplished for us. And we pray that by your grace, your word will be preached correctly, and all of us will not only understand your word, but believe and obey to bring glory and honor to you. Receive all the glory, God. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue our study of the Lord's Prayer. Today we come to Hallowed be your name. Or, may your name be hallowed. We are called to pray that God's name be hallowed. God's name. Bible considers his name as himself. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 3, the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication, which you have made before me. I have consecrated this house, which you have built, by putting my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. It says God's name is in his temple, and we know that God himself is in his temple. Thus, where God's name is, that is where God is. God's name points to God himself. So when God's name is hallowed, then God is hallowed. And this word, hallowed, it means made holy, treated as a holy, consecrated, set apart, greatly revered, honored, venerated, respected. It is to give God the glory, reverence, and praise and exaltation. So if we put all these things put together, then we have a pretty good understanding of what we are saying when we say, Hallowed be God's name. Maybe it helps all of us to ask this question. You know, our chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So, what would be the chief end of God? Well, the chief end of God is to glorify himself, to bring glory to himself. To say it in terms of what we are looking at today, to bring glory to his name, that his name be hallowed. Now, God is holy no matter what, whether we give him all the glory or not, but it is God's will that we give God all the glory and honor and praise. He is pleased to receive all the glory from us. But the fact is that God's name has been dishonored and is defiled by the sins of his people. And this is not to say that his name itself has been defiled. His name cannot be defiled. But it has been dishonored in terms of how the people are treating it. So how has the name of God defiled and profaned? This is what the Bible says. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 16. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel was living in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. Their ways before me was like the uncleanness of a woman in her impurity. Therefore, I pour out my wrath on them for the blood which they had shed on the land. because they had defiled it with their idols. Also, I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the lands. According to their ways and their deeds, I judged them. When they came to the nations where they went, they profaned my holy name, because it was said of them, "These are the people of the Lord, yet they have come out of his land." But I have concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations where they went. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which had been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. Because of their sins, Israel is destroyed and they are in exile. And this caused God's name to be defiled and profaned. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 28. Again, a long passage, but it's necessary for me to read all this. The Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in Judean, saying, "Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you from my hand, nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah. For thus says the king of Assyria, make your peace with me and come out to me, and eat each of his vine and each of his fig tree, and drink each of the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away a land like your own land, and land of grain and new vine, and land of bread and vineyard, a land of olive trees and honey, that you may live and not die. But do not listen to Hezekiah when he misled you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has any one of God's of the nations delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hanna, and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria from my hand? Who among all the gods of the lands have delivered their land from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand?" Well, this Rabshakeh, he's the spokesperson for the Assyrian king who conquered the northern Israel, and he now speaks to southern country, Judah. He in fact says, your God, who could not protect Israel, he cannot protect you. So, surrender. Do not trust your God. He cannot save you. See, at that time, nations had their gods, and when they lose a war with other nations, then they believe that the God of the victorious nation is greater and stronger than their own God. Now, the question is that the case with Israelites? What was the true reason for the Israelites' defeat and their exile? Is God really so weak that he could not protect and defend Israel? Is God really powerless to save Israel? But because Israel is in exile, this is what other people will think. And because of it, God's name is profaned. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquity have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Let me read you one more long passage here. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 14 through 17. Furthermore, all the officials of the priests and the people were very unfaithful, following all the abomination of the nations. And they defiled the house of the Lord, which he had sacrificed in Jerusalem. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them again and again by his messengers, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they continually mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, until there was no remedy. Therefore he brought up against them the king of the Chaldeans, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young man or virgin, old man or infirm. He gave them all into his hand. So it's very clear the Israelites are in exile because of their sins. And it is God's judgment upon them. But God has made a promise to Abraham. He would, through Abraham, accomplish a great nation, and God would gather his people to the promised land and forever be their God, and they will forever be his people. But now they are in captivity in foreign land. Their kingdom is destroyed and their temple is also destroyed. This earthly situation obviously points to our spiritual state before we were saved. You and I, we were slaves to Satan. And if this situation continues, then the nations will say that Israel's God is weak and powerless and cannot be trusted. Isaiah 52 verse 5, those who rule over them howl, and my name is continually blasphemed all day long. But our God promised. Ezekiel 36 verse 22, I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers, so you will be my people and I will be your God. So, let me summarize all those passages that I read. How is God's name profaned? Well, because his people are in exile. But it was because of their sin. And yet the nations will look at Israel and say, maybe their God is so weak that God cannot even protect them. So God says, I will vindicate the holiness of his great name. How? By saving his people. So this is what we need to understand. God, by saving his people, he will vindicate the holiness of His name. You know, when we talk about glorifying God, you know, we have, you know, we're so full of ourselves that we focus on what I am going to do to glorify God. But you need to understand that you and I, we cannot glorify God on our own strength or our own ability. There's nothing we could do to bring glory and honor to God unless God already saved us and gave us new hearts so that with that faith that we actually obey to witness that we are actually saved. So only through our salvation then, God's name will be vindicated. Because if we're not saved, the only thing we're going to do is sin. And that sin will take all of us to hell. And people are going to, just like these people who are around Israel, they say, oh, that God cannot even save His own people. But this is what God's saying. He will vindicate the holiness of His great name by saving His people, by accomplishing His kingdom. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 23, and what one nation on the earth is like your people Israel, whom God went to redeem for Himself as a people and to make a name for Himself and to do a great thing for you and awesome things for your land, before your people whom you have redeemed for yourself from Egypt, from nations and their gods. For you have established for yourself your people Israel as your own people forever, and you, O Lord, have become their God. Now therefore, O Lord God, the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and his house, confirm it forever, and do as you have spoken, that your name may be magnified forever by saying, the Lord of hosts is God over Israel, and may the house of your servant David establish before you. And Psalm 119 verse 9, He has sent redemption to His people. He has ordained His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. His name is holy because God saves His people. Isaiah 29 verse 23, but when He sees His children, the work of my hands in His midst, they will sanctify my name. Indeed, they will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and will stand in awe of the God of Israel. Ezekiel 20 verse 41, as a smooth aroma, I will accept you when I bring you out from the peoples and gather you from the lands where you have scattered. And I will prove myself holy among you in the sight of the nation. Again and again, I could just read you so many passages that God will say that by saving His people, His name will be hallowed. God will vindicate the holiness of His great name by saving His people, by accomplishing His kingdom, but also by judging this sinful nation or sinful world. Ezekiel 38 verse 18, it will come about on that day when God comes against the land of Israel, declares the Lord God. Gog comes against the land of Israel, declares the Lord God. And my fury will mount up in my anger. In my zeal and my blazing wrath, I declare that on that day, there will surely be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. The fish of the sea and the birds of the heaven and beast of the field, all the creeping things that creep on the earth, and all the men who are on the face of the earth will shake at my presence. The mountains also will be thrown down. The steep pathways will collapse, and every wall will fail to the ground. I will call for a sword against him On all my mountains, declares the Lord God, every man's sword will be against his brother. With pestilence and with blood, I will enter into judgment with him. And I will rain on him and on his troops, and on the many peoples who are with him, a torrential rain with hailstones and fire and brimstone. I will magnify myself, sanctify myself, and make myself known in the sight of many nations, and they will know that I am the Lord God. So understand what God is saying. He will vindicate the holiness of his great name by saving his people, by accomplishing his kingdom, and by bringing judgment upon the world. And people know that God is a holy God when all that happens. And obviously, that's what will happen at the very the end when Jesus comes back. And God fulfills this perfectly and completely through Jesus Christ, our Lord. By his life, death, and resurrection, by Jesus accomplishing the eternal salvation for his people, by accomplishing the eternal kingdom of God, only by and through our Lord Jesus Christ, God's name be hallowed forever. He has accomplished our eternal heaven, heavenly reality in which even our sins will not defile God's name any longer. Our eternal salvation has been accomplished, which means we see our heavenly reality. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night they do not cease to say, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. Revelation chapter 4, verse 10 through 11. The 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him, who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will, they exist and they were created. I'm reading these passages from Revelation to show you that when you go into heaven, yes, God's name is hallowed every single moment of eternity. Chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands, saying with loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. You could see from these passages that God's glorious name is hallowed forever and ever. God's people will praise God's holy name forever and ever. Hallowed be your name. What are we asking when we pray this phrase? Hallowed be your name. Like I said before, only Jesus Christ is able to accomplish this. So when we praying this phrase, we are actually praying for Christ because he is the only one who could do this. We are praying for him to completely and perfectly consummate our salvation, thus God's name be hallowed forever and ever. We are praying for Jesus to completely and perfectly consummate heaven, our eternal home, thus God's name be hallowed forever and ever. What are we asking? Only our Lord Jesus Christ is able to fulfill. He alone is able to accomplish what we are asking. We are praying that our salvation and his kingdom be consummated by our Lord Jesus Christ, so that When that happens, God's name be hallowed forever and ever. But it is already accomplished spiritually by our Lord Jesus Christ. So in spiritual sense, God's name is already hallowed, though the world cannot see it and will not see it yet. And it is accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ, by Him humiliated on the cross. Do you understand that what it means to be saved? When we are saved, we will never sin again in heaven. So even by how we live in heaven, God's name will be hallowed forever and ever. His name will never be defiled by our sins. And He saved us so that He could vindicate His holy name. You know, people are so full of themselves that even when talking about, you know, salvation, it's always in terms of, you know, themselves. You know, God saved us because He loved us. Yes, that's true. But more importantly, God saved us for His own glory. And by saving us, that He is glorified, His name is hallowed forever. Everybody forever will praise God's holy name. This prayer will be perfectly and visibly answered when you and I will be perfectly glorified on that day when we see our Lord Jesus Christ face to face. On that day, no one will dishonor His name. No one will profane His name. On that day, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11, for this reason also God highly exalted Jesus and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Everyone on that day will confess, even the non-believers, they will confess the holiness of our God's name. Thus our prayer will be visibly consummated on that day when Jesus comes back. This is why this prayer is the same as Revelation 22, verse 20. Amen, come, Lord Jesus. The same thing as saying, come, Lord Jesus. Hallowed be Your name. Because it will be visibly fulfilled when Jesus comes back. But again, let me tell you, but spiritually speaking, it is already answered in Jesus Christ. And even now, as we are becoming more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ, it is being answered in Jesus Christ. And as we pray this prayer sincerely, we witness that the salvation of God is already given to us, and we witness that this prayer is already answered, and it is being answered even as we pray. Thus, we must not live as though God's salvation has not come to us. We cannot defile our God's name through our sins. Romans chapter 2, verse 24, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, just as it is written. As you go out and sin, as they see how you live and what you say, they will curse God's name because of you. And we cannot live like that. Because we have to understand what has been already accomplished. That God has vindicated His holy name by saving us. And if we are saved, you know, if they could see us, how we live in heaven forever, They will never curse God because of us, because we'll be living perfect life up there. And that has been already accomplished, and you need to believe so that you may live this heavenly life that has been already accomplished. Leviticus 22, verse 32, "You shall not profane my holy name, but I will be sanctified among the sons of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you." Isaiah 29, verse 23, "But when he sees his children, my work of my hands in the midst, his midst, they will sanctify my name. Indeed, they will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and will stand in awe of the God's Israel." We have to love God, meaning we have to love His name. We want everybody around you to honor His name. You know, when you study Ten Commandments, God says, "Do not profane my name." You know, in the Old Testament, people, they were so afraid about that command, using God's name in vain. They would not pronounce God's name. This is why up to today, like today, no one knows how we are to pronounce God's name. Because nobody did it. Because they don't want to use God's name in vain. And yet, I see today, even in our church, so many people use God's name in vain. They always say, "Oh my God, why does God's name come out of that? My God is so precious that you will not use my God's name like that." Don't do that. We should not even use the name God in our jokes. Why do you want to use our God's name in a joke? No, our God is so precious to us. I get really upset when somebody uses my God's name in vain. And in the Old Testament, it's not just His name, but His attributes are considered as His name. Oh my goodness! No, don't use that. That's my God's attribute. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." Brothers and sisters, let us remember how this prayer is accomplished. It is through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He whose name must be hallowed was mocked on the cross, and He bore our sins to die on the cross. Let us pray this prayer with faith, and let us witness through our lives that Jesus Christ has accomplished this prayer. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, "Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterance of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Whatever we do it for the glory of God. We must, through all we do, witness the fact that God receives all the glory through His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." Let us praise our God. Use these lips only in praising God's holy name. Let us not profane it. Use it in vain. Use it in worthless conversation. Let us stop it. Because His name must be hallowed. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have saved us. And when anybody will look at us, how glorified we will be in that glorious place, heaven. They have to praise our God. They have to praise our God's name and acknowledge how mighty, how almighty our God is. And when that day comes, when Jesus Christ comes back, every tongue will confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and not Savior, Lord and God. But Father, we thank you that we are able to do so even now. Let us praise our God's holy name now and forever. We thank you, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.